The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
European countries have resisted Donald Trump's demand to help clear the Strait of Hormuz, much to Donald Trump's chagrin. We are joined by Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Donald Trump isn't very happy, Sean.
Yeah, good evening, Shane. Good evening, Ciara. I mean, no great surprises here, though. I mean, this is the same president who has been deriding the British Prime Minister for not allowing the use of Diego Garcia Fairford. He's been deriding the Prime Minister about not letting the Prince of Wales get involved. And autonomously, he's lifted sanctions on Russian oil, making life a lot more difficult for Ukraine. So it shouldn't be a great surprise that Europe is now going, hang on a minute, you started this war, you've broken it, you fix it. And most Western leaders seem to be very, very cautious about getting their hands in the mangle.
Yeah, Keir Starmer saying Britain will not be dragged into the wider war. He is pretty emphatic on that point.
Yeah, and I think quite rightly, nobody should be bullied by President Trump. It's really interesting, I think. There's a tone of desperation about President Trump at the moment. I think he thought he could just go into Iran, use America's dominant military might, break a bit of stuff, and Iran would come to the negotiating table. Well, bluntly, that has not happened. And the irony here is his military chiefs will have gamed all of this long ago, because I used to game it when I was in the military. You'd see what Iran's options were. They know they can't withstand America's military might. So what they do is they focus on America's weaknesses. The Iranian leadership is still in place. The Iranians have still got the use of their proxies. They've still got the use of up to 70,000 Shahed drones. And of course, they can still put their foot on the collective throats of the international community with the Straits of Hormuz. And they will probably be able to do that for some time to come.
Did when Donald Trump says Iran has been obliterated, and he says no one knows if the new Iran leader is dead or not, is he protesting too much, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I do think part of this is that from Iran's perspective, even if Mushtaba was not alive, it probably suits them to pretend he is, because it's very difficult to track somebody who's dead. So, you know, it would make sure that the leader wasn't targeted. But I do think here there are two wars going on, almost, Shane. There's the military one, which, you know, Trump is, you know, basically saying that America's won. But the harsh reality is that the political objectives haven't been achieved. And the longer this goes on, the more Iran looks resilient, the more Iran will be able to control the Straits of Hormuz for some time. And there is no military solution, easy military solution to the Straits of Hormuz. I've wargamed it several times. There has to be a political solution to it, unless you're prepared to invade Iran and actually annex a huge segment of land all the way around the Straits of Hormuz. And I'm not sure that America's got the appetite for putting boots on the ground.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, that to me sounds like you're almost getting involved in a second Vietnam if you do something like that, doesn't it?
No, I agree. But if you look at the only time in history, I think it was called the Tanker War back in the late 1980s. Yeah, Iran and Iraq. There were over 400 merchant ships targeted. And the US had 30 ships that escorted the convoys. But at the same time, they also ran a concurrent, it was called, I think, Prey and Mantis, where, because you've not only got to protect the ships, you've also got to have an air operation that every time Iran pops its head above the parapet, it gets schwacked. It's an immensely costly enterprise, and Iran will be ready for this. They've wargamed this ever since then. They've got underground tunnels full of these autonomous ships. They've got mine laying facilities. They've got lots of drones. They're not going to be beaten easily. This will take a lot of time, and frankly, that's time that Trump doesn't have.
Is Iran a rival? An enemy that America just will not be able to defeat. Is that the worry here?
Well, I think the words you use there, Shane, are illuminating. I think it's, if you simply look at it as a military challenge, then you can take away most of Iran's military capability with air power. But unless you're prepared to put an army on the ground and actually seize control, you can't defeat it. And I think that's the vulnerability of the West at the moment, is that I think, as you intimated, there's no appetite from President Trump to get involved in an enduring war. As soon as you put American soldiers on the ground, we're going to see a lot of body bags coming home. And that's for a president who got elected on the basis of being a president of peace, who solved lots of wars around the world. You know, he can't afford to get wrapped into something like this. The irony, I think, is that he must have been briefed on this. So whether or not he's just disregarded that military briefing and done his own thing, the irony now, of course, is he's asking for the international community to help when he's the guy who's actually got us in this mess.
Something else very interesting happened today, or at least I thought it was very interesting, and that is Chancellor Merz, the German Chancellor, basically describing the Israeli ground offensive in Lebanon as a mistake. Now, I think that's the first time in 3 years I can remember a senior German politician being in any way critical of Israel. Is that as significant as I believe it to be?
Well, probably, Shane, but I do think the media have tended to focus on Iran and the strikes in Iran and Iran's retribution into the Middle East. Under the cover of that, we've not really been looking closely at what the Israeli objectives are here, because I think they are different to America's. And we're seeing this, you know, Hezbollah was largely devastated. If you remember the sort of walkie-talkies exploding in the ears, and the Israelis had basically destroyed most of Hezbollah leadership. By going again, it feels like they're trying to, in perpetuity, destroy Hezbollah. They're also, I think there's 100,000 reservists being mobilized, and they're very active in the West Bank. And we're not reporting any of that. And it does feel almost like under the cover of this big operation against Iran, Prime Minister Netanyahu is taking the opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to get rid of his nation's enemies and reestablish Israel's position on the world stage.
Final question, Sean. I don't know how closely you have been following it or will follow it tomorrow, but our Prime Minister, our Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, will be in the White House presenting a bowl of shamrock to Donald Trump. Some people here believing he should, you know, kind of lay down the law to Donald Trump and talk about how America has broken international law. Others saying he needs to be way more pragmatic. Would you have a view on what approach our Prime Minister, our Taoiseach, should take?
Shane, I know you know that I try and keep clear of politics, and certainly would never try to tell the Irish Taoiseach what to do. I think the prudence here, I think with my grey hair and experience, don't poke the bear. Do what's in your country's national interest, and I don't think provoking the bear is the right thing to do.
What wise words. Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst, and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Thank you for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.